This has been quite a summer. Even for me, even for this summer-loving guy, it's been a very hot summer. And you mix in the lack of rain that we've had throughout much of it, it makes even the biggest fan of summer that you've ever known long for cooler temperatures and some showers. I also love to mow. And I mentioned it this morning, and I mentioned it Wednesday, but Leora, every time I say that, she says, well, come and mow mine. And I've had other people offer that, you know, but I love to mow. And our yard went from the first part of July this year up until the first part of August without any mowing whatsoever. The whole yard was brown and crispy, and nothing was growing except for buckhorn and chicory. They grow up taller, and evidently they have roots that go way deep. And one time I mowed most of the yard with my weed eater because all I had to do was knock off those taller weeds. But I remember when we first moved into this place and everything was just barren and we had somebody come in and get it all in shape for us and seed it down. Well, it was another dry summer that particular year and we had to water our whole yard, or I felt like I did, because we wanted to get it established. And it still dried up. It was so hot and so dry that summer that no matter how much I watered, it didn't seem like it made any difference. But later in the summer when the rains came, it was amazing to me what happened. Even grass that had not really been established was reinvigorated and refreshed and restored, and right now I can hardly keep up with it because it grows so quickly. When the rains finally did come late this summer, and I just was looking at my phone earlier this morning, and it shows rain, I think, every day that it shows the forecast for. So we didn't get any. Now we're getting a lot. But what I noticed is that with this rain that we've had, I can mow my yard as I did on Tuesday and have to mow it again by Friday because it's growing so quickly. Well, in the midst of all of that, I remembered another old hymn that we sometimes sing, and I know you'll recognize it. It says, "There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above." And I know it's nice to see green grass again. It's nice to see that the green grass can come up from the brown, crackly remnants of what used to be a lawn. Well, the same thing is true for each of us. And most of us have probably been through a dry season at one time or another. Times when nothing that we are trying to accomplish seems to come to fruition. Nothing seems to happen at all. It's a dry season. Then there are other times that we've sinned and failed our Heavenly Father. And I want you to know this. No matter how badly you have sinned, no matter how long you have sinned, no matter what we've done, He stands ready to forgive us and to bring refreshing seasons, to refresh us and to restore us if we repent and seek forgiveness from Him. Today's passage is a follow-up to the time that Peter and John were getting ready to walk into the temple, and there was a lame man laying at the gates, a man who could not walk, and if I remember correctly, had never walked, and he was set at the gate of the temple, at the door of the temple every day, so that he could ask people for handouts as they came into the temple. And he reached his cup up to Peter and John, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he not only rose up and walked, he leaped and ran and was totally and completely healed, obviously renewed and refreshed in ways that he'd never been. Well, that caused some problems for Peter and John because people noticed. If somebody who has never walked is suddenly running and leaping and carrying on like that, people notice. And some people were praising God for what had happened in his life. Other people were angry that Peter and John had done this in the name of Jesus. So this is kind of, Peter and John began to remind the crowd of Jewish people there that they are the ones who killed Jesus. They are the ones who ordered him crucified. And that's kind of where we pick up in Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I'm going to ask if you would and are able, and I always want to stress if you're able, if you don't feel like standing, that's quite all right. But if you would and are able, please stand as we read from God's Word, Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Reads like this. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, first of all, for your word. I thank you for how we have seen evidence of being converted and restored today in this baptism. And I just thank you for that evidence that we see. Lord, I just pray for each one that's here, that they would truly seek out restoration that can only come through you, refreshing and renewing that can only come, Lord, through accepting Jesus Christ as your as their Lord and Savior. And by, as I said to Emily, doing your very best to follow Jesus the rest of your life. Lord, I pray that as we seek refreshing from so many different things, that we don't overlook the one thing that's truly available to us all time, all the time, coming to you, Lord, for forgiveness and for repentance and for salvation. And I just thank you that you've done this for us. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if any of you ever tried this or not. I'm sure none of you have ever been stopped for speeding. But if you have, and the patrolman comes up to you and says, going a little over the speed limit there, aren't you? And you say something like, I didn't know there was a speed limit. Is that going to work for you? Probably not. Didn't work for me as a principal when a kid said, I didn't know you weren't supposed to throw paper wads or whatever else. You know, those kinds of things. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. It never has been, and it never will be. Even if you don't know that you're supposed to pay income tax, they're going to come get you and let you know, yeah, you are. Just because you didn't realize this doesn't mean that you're free. Well, even though Peter and John, in the verses prior to what I read here today, very bluntly accused the Jews in Jerusalem of being accomplices in the murder of Jesus Christ, Peter acknowledges here that they acted in ignorance. You didn't know. And I always feel like I have to define ignorant because even, you know, back in my day, ignorant was a word that was used as a slam against somebody. Are you ignorant? Or something like that. And what it really means is just simply this. If you are ignorant of something, you just haven't learned it yet. And that's, again, it's been taken out of context and used in different ways in the last many years. But in this case, it just means that they were ignorant because they didn't recognize, they hadn't learned yet who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. And it's not like he didn't tell them. Jesus told them over and over and over again that he was the Son of God, he was the Son of Man, that his Father had sent him, different things of that nature. So I know that no Jew would have purposefully set out to kill the Son of God if they had believed he was the Son of God. They were ignorant of that fact. And yet, in their ignorance, they did murder Jesus. Verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. In other words, it came as no surprise to God that Jesus was murdered, was crucified, because it had been prophesied. The Old Testament is full of different references to what the Christ will have to suffer. And I know we pull these things out a lot of times right before Christmas and right before Easter to talk about how the Old Testament prophesied where Jesus would be born, how he would be born, how he would die. And it outlines it very clearly in several of the chapters in Isaiah. But just because God planned it all along doesn't mean that those who did this to him weren't guilty. They were still guilty of murder. They were still guilty of killing the Christ. But before we get too, I don't know, cocky about that, I want you to know that the men who condemned Jesus to die, the men who whipped him and beat him to the point where he was just a bloody mess, And the men who nailed him to the cross are no more guilty than we are, because it was our sin that nailed him to that cross. He wouldn't have had to go to the cross had there not been sin, if there wasn't going to be sin. And all of that was, as I said, prophesied, and that's what this says. God foretold this by the mouth of all of his prophets. The suffering that Jesus endured was for you, each and every one of you, each person on this earth, on this planet, ever lived on this planet or ever will live on this planet. Our sin is what put him there. And so we therefore carry responsibility for his murder. Just simple as that. So what can we do about that? If we're guilty, what can we do? Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, before Jesus, there was a forerunner called John the Baptist, and he preached out in the desert, and he ate locusts and honey, and he dressed in really uncomfortable clothes. But the big thing about him was his message to the people, which was, repent and be baptized. Repent can be defined in lots of different ways, but I found this particular definition that I liked. It says, sincere regret or remorse about your wrongdoing or your sin. And I like to break that down just a little bit further. The word sincere, not just sorry that we got caught. If the officer who stopped you for speeding says, oh, I'm sorry I got caught, would you let me go? Probably not. It's not just being sorry that we got caught, it's being truly sorry for what we did. And not just that we're sorry, but that as soon as the cop's out of my sight, I'm going right back to 85. No, we've got to repent and to turn from our sins, to be converted. Regret and remorse, obviously, is something that we have to have when we recognize our sin. Recognizing that our sin is it doesn't affect just me. When I sin, it affects everybody. So we got to recognize that. We repent by being sincerely sorry and doing our very level best to no longer commit that sin. To be converted means to become a new creation. We were so blessed, as I've already alluded to having a baptism this morning, and I think we've got some more coming up in the weeks ahead. But as I always try to tell people who come to me for baptism, baptism doesn't save you. There's nothing magical about the water. There's nothing in this water that washes away your sin and then we just send it on down the drain. That's not what it is. It is a symbol of repentance and a symbol of conversion. I got so flustered trying to kind of kill some time this morning, I forgot to read my scripture that I always read. But what I read to you comes from Acts chapter 8, which is telling the passage about when Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit to minister to this guy on a chariot, and it was the eunuch, and he said, what's to keep me from being baptized? There's water right here, and he took him to be baptized. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And that's what it requires to be converted, is to believe with all your heart. The baptism doesn't save you, but it is a symbol of what you've already done, what God's already done in your life. So, again, being converted, which is what this says, repent therefore and be converted, means that you should not be the same after you've accepted Christ as you were before you've accepted Christ. There should be a difference, and people should notice that difference. Another thing it says here is that your sins are blotted out. And I pointed out that back in some of your day, there were no ballpoint pens. And all we had were fountain pens. And I've got an old student desk at home. It's got a little circle up here in the corner, a little hole in the desk. And that was for the inkwell. And it was also for pigtails of those who sat in front of you, right? I don't remember that, but I saw it on the Little Rascals or something. But they had ink wells because you had to fill up your ink pen so that you could write. And many times the ink flowed out of those fountain pens a little too quickly, and you might make a puddle on your paper. So they had blotters, which they put over the top of that soaked up, removed the extra ink so that you're not going to run your hand through it, especially if you're left-handed. That was really tough. But anyway, that's what a blotter is. A blotter soaked up the ink so that it wouldn't smear, so that it wouldn't stain. Having our sins blotted out just means that they're soaked up. They're no longer going to smear or stain us, and we don't have to carry that burden around anymore. So repenting, converting, having sins blotted out, all of this, it says, leads to times of refreshing, to refreshing seasons. You might remember a slogan for a particular soft drink from back in the old days was, they referred to it as the pause that refreshes. That was for Coca-Cola. And it went on for many, many, many decades, like I said. Another soft drink that still has this on their bottle caps, if you buy it in the bottle or on the different places, but it says 10-2-4. And what you're supposed to do is get refreshed at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock by drinking a Dr. Pepper, right? The pause that refreshes, get refreshed at these times. Well, I won't deny that a good drink of something cold during a hot summer day certainly does refresh you. It quenches your thirst. But it can't compare to the refreshing that comes from repenting, from being converted, from having your sins blotted out, from knowing that despite all of your failures and all of the difficulties and all the weight of the sin that we carry around on us, you can be refreshed. You can be renewed and restored. Alan read to you earlier from Romans 7, and I want to read again parts of verses 24 and 5, which says, "O wretched man that I am." And I want to make it clear, this is Paul speaking. Paul, the apostle, Paul, the greatest missionary ever, said he was a wretched man. Why? Who will deliver me from this body of death, this sin that I carry around with me? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, this sin can be removed from me. It can be blotted away. If Paul felt like a wretched man sometimes for carrying around the sin that he was burdened by, we shouldn't be surprised when it happens to us. It will happen to us. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know that the rains that we've been receiving the last few days came too late for a lot of different things, for farmers and for gardeners in many cases. And I know I've seen corn being chopped up for silage this year a lot more than I remember in many recent years. I just don't remember that happening for a long time because it was just going to fail. There wasn't going to be enough corn, so they chop it up so they can get something out of it to feed to the cattle and so on. I've seen hay fields that used to be filled with big old bales of hay. And this year it's about half as much in many cases. I've seen ponds that are reduced to mud puddles or even just dry, cracked, parched beds of nothing because there's no water. And every day, about half a dozen times a day, I cross Big Creek Bridge. It's called Big Creek, I guess, because it's big. Well, it hasn't been big. It's just down to a trickle. And this morning, whenever I came across it, I saw that it's really flowing again. But the idea is, showers of blessing have brought seasons of refreshing to the earth. Maybe it wasn't in time for our purposes necessarily, but we see the evidence of it. He's provided green pastures and still waters once again. And in the beautiful thick green grass that surrounds us, I see this picture of renewal that comes from repentance, from the cleansing power of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And in restoring a dry, barren landscape, I see refreshing that is available to every single person on this earth if they repent and are converted. I know one of the things that I don't necessarily like about this time of year is I know that my summer is ending, and oh, how I love summer, and I know not everyone does. I accept that. I know that there are people who love winter. I accept that. But the truth be told, most people probably really prefer spring and fall because it's just more comfortable. And spring brings refreshment from the harsh, cold, bitter temperatures of winter. Fall brings refreshment from the hot, humid days of summer. And we spring and fall are the refreshing seasons for most people. But for believers, refreshing is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's always available that we can be refreshed. Verse 20, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Now for Peter, in this particular situation, he knew that most of the people to whom he was speaking had heard Jesus preached before. For most of us here today, I'm assuming that you've probably heard Jesus preached before. But the main point is, hearing Jesus preached, being in church on a Sunday, it's not enough. Even sending Jesus, as it says here, that he may send Jesus, is not enough if we don't accept him. He is sent to everybody. But accepting and repenting and converting and following Jesus is what each of us need to do in order to be truly and completely refreshed. A lot of the people in Peter's audience that day might have even heard Jesus himself preach the words of Jesus. But for so many, even that wasn't enough to convince them of their need for salvation. Unfortunately, for the people that Peter was speaking to here, it's not going to be enough for a lot of them either. This is chapter 3. Chapter 4 begins with Peter and John being arrested for preaching Jesus and for healing a lame man in the name of Jesus. But then chapter 4 goes on to tell us that many of those who heard believed. But it also means that many of them did not. And I really believe this. Any time that Jesus is preached, it's going to have an impact. Some will accept, some will refuse, some might have a seed planted today that will come to pass in years ahead or days ahead, where they might believe, where they too will accept and repent and be converted and be refreshed. Verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Well, we've seen what a little rain here and there can do. It's refreshed the plant life around us. There's coming a day, however, when it says here, the restoration of all things, everything that God created will be restored, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. He's been telling us that this day is coming. There's coming a day when the world as we know it will end. But he will restore all things in heaven for those who have accepted him and believed him. When God created the heavens and the earth, they were perfect. And I realize the definition of perfect is different from one person to the other. But heaven's going to be perfect. The Garden of Eden was perfect until sin came into the picture. When he comes back and restores all things, it'll be just like it was before there was sin. There'll be no thistles, no thorns, no storms, no drought, no tears, no sorrow, no pain. That's what heaven will be like. But heaven is only for those who have repented and been converted and have done their very best to follow Jesus the remainder of their lives. Adam and Eve sinned, and that messed it up for us. But don't blame them, because if they hadn't done it, somebody else would have. And if nobody else had done it until 1954 when I was born, I would have done it. I guarantee it. We would have messed it up. But until Jesus comes back and we have this restoration of all things, he's going to give us seasons of refreshing, but there will also be seasons of difficulty. We're told in this passage to repent and be converted so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Being in his presence should bring refreshing to believers, but if you don't feel refreshed after being in his presence, I want you to consider the first steps that are mentioned in this passage. Repent, be converted, be changed, and he will bring seasons of refreshing. That old song again says, There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. And that's my prayer for each of us here today, that if we're in a dry spell right now as believers, that we recognize He can restore. If we repent, return to Him. If you're someone here today who's never accepted Christ as your Savior, never made a public profession of that faith, He's waiting to restore, to refresh you. And I really pray that we would consider that as we prepare for the invitation time. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank You for these seasons of refreshing that You send us. And I know, Lord, in my own heart, every single time that I see a spring day and the grass is renewed and the flowers are blooming and the birds are singing, I think about refreshing. But Lord, I know that we have this available to us all the time. If we truly are repentant and truly are converted, help us, God, to live as though we are refreshed by Your Spirit. And if there be one here today that's not, that's never accepted that, let this be the day that they turn this over to You and see the seasons of refreshing. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.